on it, tic-tac-toe, whatever you want to do. Psalm 119, here we have the psalmist David writing. He writes 176 verses. No way you could deal with all of that unless you just generalize a lot of things in one service. 22 sections of 8 verses apiece. Each one of those 22 sections starts with one of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. And here in verse number 81, as you have noticed in the last few Wednesday nights, the psalmist David is not one that was absent of trouble. Trouble came to him. Trouble found him. Some of it was self-inflicted. Some of it was caused by himself. But there's some things I want you to notice. And these, I'm telling you, Psalm 119, you may not have been getting anything out of it. I have been enjoying it because every one of the verses talks about the Word of God, the Bible. What can it do for your life? It ought to be a lamp to your feet, a light unto your path. And if you hide the words in your heart, you won't sin against God. And so things of that nature. So look at verse 81 of Psalm 119, and we're down to this particular section. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. We thank you for these that have gathered tonight. Help us in the Bible study. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here, going through the Psalm, Psalm 119, if you will, the psalmist David is in trouble. You can tell that. He's in trouble. The last week we were talking about, he was in trouble. He says, your hands, in verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. Why am I having to go through this? And then he says in 74, the fear, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me because I've hoped in thy word and so on and so forth, that the judgments are right. And all through there, talking about how he's been done wrong. His friends, his enemies have done him wrong. And so we see here that the psalmist is in trouble. But here's what we'll learn in these 8 verses, and I hope we'll see it before we go home tonight. When hope is all gone, help is on the way. Even on a Wednesday night, that ought to motivate you. That ought to help you just a little bit. We're going to find hope when everything seems hopeless. There's hope in the Word of God. Number one, point number one, there's a troubled soul here in verse 81. A troubled soul. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. We're seeing an individual here that's needing a spiritual revival. He says, my soul's fainting. I'm passing out. I need nourishment. I need something. I'm about to pass out. I need a word from heaven. I need something from God. My soul fainteth after thy, for thy salvation. Here, most Christians are just enough saved to be miserable. Let me say that again. Most Christians are just enough saved, are just enough Christian to be miserable. They're saved, they're going to heaven, but they are in desperate need of a spiritual revival. Most Christians are not spiritual. You say, preacher, how can you tell if a person is spiritual or not? Or how can I tell if I'm spiritual or not? If you can talk for 1 hour tomorrow, or if you talked for 1 hour today and did not mention the Lord, you need a spiritual revival. I'm for talking about all the different things that we talk about, but somewhere within an hour's time, when you're talking to an individual, hey, hadn't the Lord been good to you this week? Hadn't the Lord been great? When did he save you? When did you get saved? I mean, somewhere within an hour. And if not, you need a spiritual revival. You're just enough saved. All you wanted to get fire insurance so you wouldn't go to hell. You need a spiritual revival. And so he's crying out, my soul fainteth. I'm about to pass out. I need nourishment. I need a drink of water. And then he says in the next phrase, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. Now, that does not mean the psalmist David ain't saved. The word salvation in the Bible, the word saved, salvation, means to deliver. So you may have a need to be saved from your despair. You may have a need. That don't mean you're not saved and ready to go to heaven. You may need to be saved, delivered from your trouble, from your trials, from your disappointment, from your discouragement, from your despair, if you will. And so here we see he's asking. He says, I won't deliver. My soul's about to pass out, and I need delivering. And the only deliverance that I want is from the hand of an almighty God. Why? Because I have hope. When everything is gloom, doom, and despair on the outside of these walls, and every time I turn on the news, on the television, there is hope in the Word. When hope is all gone, help is on the way. Hallelujah. Well, I just feel like preaching a little bit. Deliverance that only comes from God. And then this is what he says. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. The word of God. I may not get no more further than this point. The word of God is like sunshine. And listen, when your circumstances, your trials, your troubles, get this real good, is like clouds, dark, dark clouds over your head. And you can't see the sun shining. All you can see is look up to God, and all you see is trouble and trials and rain and storms. But you get in that Bible. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. From where I'm standing and I look up to God, I see troubles, trials, rain, storms. But then I get in the book, and he takes me to a different altitude. He takes me to a different altitude to where you can get above your circumstance, above your situation, above your disappointment and your despair, and you can see the sun shining on the other side of the cloud. I heard a story one time about an airplane. See, it's a true story. The airplane had they were taking passengers off, obviously, but on the same floor. And little did, if I'd known this, I wouldn't have got on the plane. But little did they know that there was some dangerous snakes on the plane, and they were transporting them as well to wherever they were going. And in the meantime, while that plane is a-flying, now y'all get this real good. Son, I'm feeling saved all over again just about to tell a story. One of the boxes of the thing tipped over and the door come open and snakes got loose. And they up there. Well, they radioed the pilot and said, you got to land this thing. He said, no, because he'd been trained how to take care and get these animals from one place to the other. He'd been trained. He said, no, if we come down, everybody, they're going to bite everybody on this plane. But there's a certain altitude. Hallelujah. There's a certain altitude that I can go to where them snakes can't live. And so instead of coming down, he went on further up, and them snakes froze. Now, some of you want to come down, and you don't need to come down. You need to go up. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm homeward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I think the song says something like this. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer and my aim is higher ground. Hallelujah. The third verse says, I want to live above the world. Though Satan's dart at me are hurled, for faith hath caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high. And I think whoever wrote this higher ground knew something about Psalm 119. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. This is what David is crying out to God for. Listen, my soul is fainting. I need deliverance from the hand of God. I put trust in your word. I want to go above the circumstances and above the clouds. Number two, I got to hurry. You got a troubled soul. But number two, you got a trembling sight. And verse 82 says, mine eyes fail for thy word. He says, I'm looking and I can't see. I'm looking, my eyes are failing. Lord, I'm praying and you don't seem like you're up there. I'm praying and it feels like it's bouncing off the ceiling. Lord, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, this is what my eyes is saying, when wilt thou comfort me? When you gonna send some help? When you gonna help me out of this circumstance, this situation? I mean, listen, I know this is David. I know he's Old Testament. I know he's dead and gone. But just maybe we might just get a little something out of here that just might help us in 2015. Because I don't think that David is the only one that's ever had these kinds of experiences. A troubled soul, a trembling sight. He says, listen, let me just say this. I hear preachers all the time. You get on the internet and they say different stuff. And look, every time something bad happens, y'all with me? Every time something bad happens, this is what they say. Well, it's an attack of the devil. Well, hang on. It might be. But I think the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff that God might be trying to do a work in your heart. And we blame it on the devil. This is attack of the devil. It might be the hand of God moving on the clay. And it feels like he's about to pull your neck off. But he's trying to make something beautiful. And the clay is looking up going, mine eyes is looking for you and I ain't seeing nothing but your hands around my throat. And he's like, well, won't you just sit still and listen? Stay in church, stay in the word, stay in prayer. Put a lot of water on this thing. It'll be a whole lot smoother if you put some water on it, the water of the word. Hallelujah. He says, my eyes, I'm looking, I can't see. And then David says, when wilt thou comfort me? Lord, just when? When are you going to come through? You said if I prayed, you'd hear me, you'd answer. You ain't answered. When are you going to comfort me? I need comfort. When? Well, I'll tell you when. When your grief has answered its purpose. When your grief has answered its purpose. When you believe. When you leave sin. When you obey, when you submit to His will, when you seek His glory, when I turn the matter over to Him for His purpose in my life, when I stop kicking against Him, when I stop demanding my way in all matters, when I allow Him to take full control of the problem, that might be your win. When, Lord? Well, the Lord says, well, when you do something. You're always looking up here expecting me to do something. Hello. This is Wednesday night now. prayer meeting Bible study. I feel like I'm preaching a little bit, though, but I'm supposed to be teaching this, but listen. The Lord may be saying, well, when, you know, why is it the only time I hear from you is when trouble comes? Why is it the only time I can get a phone call from you? Is when trouble comes. So God says, I just like keep throwing trouble your way because I hear more from you that way. Yeah. Woo, boy, that ain't going over too good. Well, let me move to point three. Let's see if we can help it a little. You got a troubled soul, you got a trembling sight, and then you have a traumatic symbolism. Look at verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statute. It's what he said. Now, in the Bible days, a bottle is not like a glass bottle, a Coke bottle, which Coke is a whole lot better in a glass bottle than it is in a plastic can or a plastic bottle. They don't have glass bottles. They made bottles out of, how many of the old bottles, the old rubber bottles that you put water in, you put it under your back, and use it as a heating pad or whatever. Anybody old enough? I know a bunch of them. A bunch of you need to get your hand up. But it wasn't a glass bottle. It was a bottle made out of goat skin. And this is what they'd do. They'd take a bottle, they'd make that goat skin, and they'd hang that goat skin up by the fireplace for the heat to, do what that's supposed to do to that bottle. But you're supposed to want that goat skin, you want that bottle to have heat, but you don't want the smoke to get to it. Because if the smoke got to it, it makes it hard, brittle, dry, sorry attitude. If you let that smoke get to that bottle, it made it dry and unusable. And David says, for I am become, this is the way I feel, God. I feel like one of them bottles. It's sitting up by the fireplace. I got heat on me, and now I got smoke on me. I'm getting dry. I hadn't felt your touch. I need something that's going to help me. I'm getting a sorry attitude. Nobody wants to be around me. Do we need just to take a minute and say, every head bowed, every eye closed? No glass bottle. This thing is a skin that it cracks open when the smoke gets to it. And the smoke causes it to shrivel up and crack open and no longer to be usable. But then you got, let's see what the end of it says. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. That's what he said. He said, I feel cracked, but he said, I'm trying to stay in that word. I'm trying not to forget what you've wrote in that Bible. Now look at number four. You got a trying. You got a troubled soul, trembling sight. You had a traumatic symbolism about the bottle and all. And now you've got a trying situation. Look at verse 84 or so. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? When are you going to get back at the people that got me? You know, what David says, how many days are my servant? David's going, Lord, you know I'm getting on up in age, and I sure do want to see you get my enemies back. And so if you planned on doing it, I sure wish you'd do it while I was living so I could see it. Now look, y'all are saying, boy, David, man, look at David. Oh, we've been there. I stay there about half the time. And then, you know, y'all don't look at me funny because I know y'all have too. Somebody does you wrong. I mean, you're wanting to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to let you do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let you do it. But hurry up and do it so I can see it. And then he says, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after the law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Help thou me. Here's a trying situation. We got God delaying. He's waiting and he's waiting, and we think time's fixing to run out. Lord, you ain't moving fast enough. Our prayers may seem delayed, but the prayer is never denied. He says he needs help in understanding the story. Lord, I don't know where you're going with this. I don't know what you're trying to teach me. But Lord, whatever it is, why these enemies are coming after me and you just letting it happen. You ain't getting them back for me. You said vengeance is yours, saith the Lord, and I'm trying to let you do it. The way I interpret that verse is vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm just here to do the Lord's work. But anyway, sometimes trouble comes, in all seriousness, trouble comes, and we see everything. All we see is what we call surface facts. What's there on the surface? We see the surface facts, and that's all we can see. And sometimes we don't see the hand of God in things that He throws our way. It might be the hand of God that's trying to get you to move to a different or situation or closer to the Lord or whatever the case might be. You think about old Joseph, his brothers, own flesh and blood, threw him in a pit, walked off, left him. The older brother, Simeon, he comes up and says, "Hey, man, we can't kill our own brother. Let's sell him. I mean, he's a real Jew. Let's make some money off of him." You know. And they sell him into the Midianites, and then eventually he goes into Potiphar's house. Then Potiphar's wife, hey, watch this one right here in Psalm 119. See if this don't match. And Potiphar's wife, she comes on to him, and he stays with the Bible and says, "No." He runs out of the room. She grabs his jacket or coat, and he runs plumb out of it, which that's what you ought to do. Left his jacket behind. When Potiphar's husband came home, Potiphar's wife's going, "Look here what I got. He come on to me." Wound him in prison for something he didn't do. You talking about somebody that could have been mad at God. Why do you let this happen to me? You're letting my enemies destroy. How long is it going to be before you get vengeance? How long is it going to be? Am I going to be dead and gone before you do anything about this? But what we don't see, we see the facts right now. Hey, I'm falsely accused. I didn't do it. And I'm now in prison for something I didn't do. We see the now facts. But what God is trying to have His hand on Joseph's life is this. "Joseph, I want to take you from where you were and bring you into the palace. But before, I cannot bring you, just pick you up from there and put you in the palace. You wouldn't be worth 3 cents. So to make you and to mold you and to put you through so you'll be something when you get to the palace, I'm going to put you through the pit. Your brothers threw you in. Then I'm going to put you in a prison for something you didn't do. And then when you get to the palace, you're going to be great." Well, I was expecting a little more shouting than that. But hey, you might be in the pit tonight. You might be in the prison tonight. But I'm telling you, there's a palace on the way. And you're going to have to go through it. Hey, listen. God parted the Red Sea, walked across on dry ground. They was headed for the promised land, but before they could get there, had to go through the wilderness. Why? You got to go through school. Wilderness is a school. You got to go through the training ground to see, hey, you just can't just be picked up from here and go to there, and you got to go through something so you can be something. Hallelujah. That's what David says at the end. I probably can't finish all this, but look, it's what he said. Where was it? Verse 86. "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. They threw me in the pit." And then it's what he said. Here's his prayer. You say, preacher, I can't pray. I don't know how to talk to God. I don't know how to pray. Here's the psalmist's prayer. Help thou me. Now, who in the room can't say that? We got this funny idea that, boy, listen, you picture this in your mind before I'm getting to close. You got a man that falls in the river, he can't swim, and he sees a man on the bank that can maybe help him. And so this is what he says while he's drowning, trying to get his last breath. He says, I say there, friend, I wonder if I could persuade you to divest yourself of your garments and plunge into this swiftly flowing river and save me from this watery grave. I shall forever be obligated to you and your kind consideration. I am about to be annihilated by these waters. Oh, please, sir, would you please come and come to my aid? Amen. Sometimes we think the only time you can talk to God is if you talk that way. Give you for instance. Talking about somebody drowning. There was a fellow drowning one time. His name was Peter. He was walking on water, took his eyes off the Lord. He went down. You know what his prayer was? I mean, we're talking about Peter. Peter wrote some books in the Bible. I mean, he's a very smart individual. I mean, sometimes you just had to put soap in his mouth. But anyway, I mean, he's a good individual and a preacher on top of that. And this is his prayer. Lord, save me. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, you don't know how to pray. I mean, sometimes you need to come to this altar, maybe there in your seat or in your car or in your bedroom, your closet, shut the door, whatever. You say, what am I going to do then? You just look up beyond the clouds and say, Lord, I want to press on the upward way. I need you to help me. You'd be surprised what the Lord might do. Then you got a true servant. True servant. You say, preacher, how you get all this? This is easy to preach. This is easy to preach. You know, when you hear me preaching this, you say, boy, he's got that down. No, I ain't got it down. I can tell you what the Bible says on it, but I ain't got it down. I mean, you ask some of my family, they'll tell you, oh, he ain't got that down. He ain't that spiritual. You say, how you do it? I'll tell you how to do it. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's what the Bible says. And then, I'm done, then you got a trusting saint. Verse 88, watch this. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. He said, quicken me, make me alive. Not that he wasn't saved. Sometimes you just feel like you're about, you know, like myself sometimes. Especially Wednesday night, you worked all day, and boy, you just, anybody like it? Oh, I got to go to church. Got to go. Boy, you know, got to go. In order to change that, so I get to go. And it's what David said. He said, Lord, I just ain't feeling it. I feel like I got one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peeling. And I need you to quicken me. I need you to just breathe on me. I need you to just help me. And it's what he said. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now that's a tremendous phrase. You say, what's so special about that? Watch. He said, so I can keep the testimony of thy mouth. Folks, we're ending. We're coming to a close. But if you'll ever grab a hold of this right here, we read the Bible, we see words on a page, and we say, that's just another book. But David saw it as words coming out of his mouth. God breathed. That's inspiration. God breathed. That's inspiration. God moved upon the face of water. That's inspiration. Mary was breathed upon as far as when the seed came into her womb. That's inspiration. God put this word into our lap. That's inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We read that Bible. It's just not another book. That's the words coming out of his mouth. I mean, I can tell some of you ain't got it, but you just let that think on that a minute. When you think about, for God so loved the world that he gave, that's just not a verse we teach kids in the Sunday school. That's a verse that God spoke out of his mouth and then demonstrated it on the cross. And then wrote it in a book so we could read about the words coming out of his mouth. That's why David said, the testimony of thy, this come out of your mouth. Say, so what did he say? Hey, we got something that'll strengthen us. God can inspire a book and place it in our lap. When hope is all gone, help's on the way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, glory. Hallelujah. How many of you are grateful for trouble? Let me see. No. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand.